Hello guys, welcome back to episode number 2 of Canadian Hustlers. We're here together with Scott Crawley from Puffin Media. Scott is a videographer, started his own business about 9 years ago in Woodstock, making videos for small businesses and doing a lot of awesome stuff, working together a little bit with the three of us as well. Welcome Scott.
Thank you.
Can you quickly give you an introduction? What do you do? How did you get started?
Well, mostly I just do animation and web video, basically for social media and websites. I don't do really TV commercials or anything like that. How I got started was I worked for the school for a little bit, and we were making like an educational series for one of the school's clients. So they hired a bunch of students, and we would film a professor talking in front of a green screen. They had the graphics outsourced, they bring it in, and we'd edit the video together. So we worked on that for 4 months. Some students have been working on it longer. And we found out that we were getting paid about $16 an hour, and then found out that the school was billing us out at $250 an hour each.
Wow.
So after school, I'm like, there's got to be a difference there.
Yeah.
I could be making more, but I'm not going to be charging $250 more. That just seems ridiculous. Unless you're a big ad agency in Toronto, and you have like $150,000 cameras that you're using.
Yeah, exactly. That's actually quite a difference.
Those are production companies.
Yeah.
Right? Then you get more into movies, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Documentary style.
Yeah, the bill goes up hourly. Mostly, I think it's due to the equipment, because the equipment that they drop on movies are in the millions of dollars, right?
Okay.
And even like a high-end production company, instead of like a $5,500 camera, they're using $55,000.
So you're getting like $250 an hour?
Yeah, and we were getting paid $16.
Yeah, so they must have been providing a good product. Otherwise, no one's going to pay that.
Mm-hmm. I think they're getting kind of like subsidized by the government too for like an educational thing.
Okay.
So I think they got a grant, but yeah, they're still spending up a lot of money.
So that was during your study?
Yeah, it was near the end of it, yeah.
Okay. And at that moment, you were like, hey, there's something going on. These are charging $250 an hour, our charge $16.
Yep.
There's a lot of the small companies in Woodstock and Oxford County who are not going to be able to afford $250 an hour for a video. What can I do different?
Exactly.
And it was Puffin Media.
Yeah.
Cool. How long is that ago? Did you start at Puffin?
Yes, I started it in 2012. And then for a while, it was kind of part-time. And then probably for the last 3.5 years, it's been more full-time.
Like, okay.
Full-time.
Cool.
You like it?
I do, yeah. But yeah, I can't complain. You're your own boss, right?
That's the best part of it.
That's the best part. Yeah.
That's why I do what I do. Mm. So.
And I enjoy I enjoy making a product that my clients get excited to see.
Yeah.
And they're excited to use it as well.
Which companies have you worked for for someone to look for an example if they wanted to see something that you did?
Well, recently it's been Target Box with Alex. Your video is coming out soon.
That's right.
There's been a dance studio in town called Footprints Dance Center that I worked with. Right now I'm working with Forestale, which is a metal manufacturer in Woodstock.
Okay, cool.
And I worked with anniversary kind of video for ViewTech, which is like a big...
Yeah, ViewTech. A lot of people know ViewTech around here anyway, yeah.
Never heard about it. What is that?
They build parts for Toyota,
yeah,
don't they?
For cars, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a big company in Woodstock.
Yeah.
It's actually right on with Julian Drive or somewhere there anyway.
Yeah, they have like 2 factories.
Yeah, right? So.
So do you really see a difference, because you've been in business now for about 8-9 years? Back then, social media was not that big yet, right? That was 2011, 2010. Facebook was still really trying to get momentum.
Mm-hmm.
Where were they used for at that time compared to now? Like, did you see a transition going on in the type of videos that you created, or really helped that work out?
Yes, it was mostly just Facebook or like front page of your website.
Back in?
Right.
Okay.
Like 2012, 2013. And they were a lot longer too. Just people had longer attention spans.
Yeah. Huge.
But yeah, now it's, you try to make it as quick as possible. You get your message out there quick, entertaining, 15 to 30 seconds.
That's how it goes. Yeah. It's hard to make a 15 second video.
I know.
But that's what you need.
It's hard.
I'm assuming, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you start out with something longer, right? And that's a funny thing, because if you're on Facebook and you're scrolling, you have an attention span of
how long? 5 seconds.
5 seconds.
If you don't get me in the first 3 seconds, right. I keep scrolling.
Right.
Right? So.
And then is how extensive does your message need to be, especially if you're trying to sell something?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where it really comes in, where you drop down the time.
Yeah, there's two ways of doing it, right? You can try to push out all the information you want quickly, or you can just try to get them hooked, and then you just kind of, there's your brand, and
yeah.
Look up more information about it.
And I think it's really interesting. Like, I love video. I'm not a videographer myself, but it's just growing, right? For myself, from the marketing perspective as well. Where before you would make a 5-6 minute video, it would probably go on YouTube or on Instagram, or not Instagram at that time yet. YouTube, most of the time, on their website. You spend a lot of money on one single video. And I think there's a huge benefit for a lot of companies at this moment right now. Video doesn't have to be expensive, right? There's not companies.
Well, nobody cares about, like, I mean, they care about quality in a sense, but you point and shoot with the cell phone. If it's interesting enough, people are going to watch it.
Right.
That's just the way it is. I mean, it's nice to have all the nice equipment, but I mean, it really comes down to it. Anybody can do it. We all have a smartphone now.
Mm-hmm. So. You just have to follow, like, a few simple rules, and then it doesn't look like garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think audio is one of the biggest ones.
Exactly. You can have...
As long as they can hear you.
Yeah. You have perfect... You could have... high quality video, like movie quality, and if the audio is garbage, people won't.
Yeah, because it's annoying. It drives me nuts.
Yeah.
I do it too. I just move on if it's cracky or scratchy and just keep scrolling. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, cool.
So, what study did you do? What was it? It was videography or audio, what a little bit mixed
it
into
was, it? At the time, I didn't really have any, like, just videography course. It was like broadcast television, so it was a lot of like news heavy, and we were making like news stories.
Right.
Do they even have social media courses yet?
They I think they do at Conestoga now. They have some, I know.
A master's in social
a couple
media.
Of years after I left, they came with a videography course that was for if you want to start your own business afterwards. It wasn't like going to try to get a job at Rogers or CTV, which a reason why I didn't pursue that path is our teachers were basically like, you're gonna have to go to Toronto intern for a year.
For like an ad agency or something like that.
Yeah, for like CTV or Rogers or CBC. And they're like, yeah, it's not gonna be paid. I'm like, I can't afford to live in Toronto for a year. And
right.
Because I'm gonna be going, I'm gonna probably be here all the time, spending all my time at CTV or CB.
Yeah. Making $16 an hour and
making nothing.
Well, making nothing. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. Intern. Yeah. Internship. Nothing.
Live
yeah.
There and eat.
Yeah. That's not even worth it. That's.
And I don't think I would have time to get a part-time job, which I don't think would sustain.
No, you can't.
Having rent there.
No, rent is ridiculous there. Well, even one bed. Just a bedroom is like probably like $800.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then you get nothing. So.
Yeah. So that was not an option.
Yeah.
So at that moment, you're like, yeah, interesting, cool, but not for me.
Right.
I'm gonna.
When we worked on projects together and they're more creative as opposed to you have to find a new story, you have to go interview someone about like the new story or what they've seen, then do your voiceover, edit it to 2 minutes, and then showcase it to the class basically. Or like some of them were like we made like a James Bond kind of.
Oh, that's neat.
Rip off. That was like 15 minutes long, and they gave us like a month to do it or something.
Looking up social media marketing, they had an ad, Red Academy out of Toronto, but then I opened up their page and it says, we're sorry, currently social media marketing is not available at Toronto. So,
oh.
I don't know. I'm just trying to look for a course, but yeah, I have heard that they're starting to do courses on stuff like that, so just, yeah.
Yeah, because we didn't have anything about social media in our courses at all.
But it was so
it was just
small at that time still, right?
Nobody knew how big it was gonna go.
No. Mm-hmm.
I remember I got Facebook, I'm like, fine, I'll get Facebook, whatever, I don't care. And now it's like, okay.
Yeah. Well, it's crazy. I think I was 15. So that's about 9 years ago now. So about around 2010. I was going to school of photography in Holland. And I did quite a bit of working out and stuff at that time. And I had a Twitter account. And it was literally the whole day, just tweeting away. Every single day, didn't have Facebook, didn't have Instagram, didn't have LinkedIn, but somehow I was just obsessed with Twitter. No clue why, I did it. I built up following probably 2,000-3,000 people.
Wow.
But I was
it's impressive at the time.
But I was 15 and I had no clue.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason why I was getting those followers was because I was literally putting out 50 messages a day on that platform. My bus rides to school were like an hour and a half back. So I had a lot of time, but I had no clue, right? And when I look back now, it's like, shit, I had 3,000 followers on Twitter.
Back then,
and I deleted my account because I didn't like Twitter anymore, but I had no understanding how valuable it was that 3,000 people were interested in whatever I had to say.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Twitter at that time was 110 characters, no big deal.
Was it monetized at that time?
For myself?
No, I
Twitter wouldn't have been monetized at that time.
Well, like with brand deals?
No.
They ran away from that stuff back then. They're like, this is stupid.
Okay.
And they find it. Even now, they're not even there yet. The major brands are not even there yet. Smaller ones are.
Okay.
People that have a brain, they go there, but it's just, you know, it's an old boys club, a lot of that ads, so they don't go there. But I'm trying to think when I think it was 2000. When was Facebook invented?
2006, I think.
2006, yeah. I think it was on there 07 or 08 or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still remember how it looked. Just that blue, like, dark ages internet style. But no one had a clue.
No.
Right? And there were companies putting out stuff on there.
Well, I remember they finally made pages for businesses.
Yeah.
And that was huge, and I didn't understand either. I made one for the farm, and I had like 1,100 people in less than a year following me.
Wow.
Yeah, like you try do it now. Try get 1,100 people to lose attention on a new page.
Oh yeah.
Good luck.
It's almost impossible.
But like, you know,
unless you're running a contest.
Yeah. $20 and like everybody's seen it and people will come and buy stuff. And even then I'm just like, oh, whatever. I didn't really think about it. You don't think about it then. It's really weird. Because you're not believing in it because no one else is. Now everyone's starting to come around.
Yeah.
But
the new thing, people are always scared of a new thing coming out.
Yeah.
Right? And it's not accepted. I just heard an interview today and they were talking about Tinder. Right?
Yeah.
You know, the Tinder swipe left, swipe right. And they were literally saying how a lot of people say it's contradicting. Right, Twitter, the platform, that we can literally decide with a single swipe whether we like someone or not. At the other hand, people demonize it.
Yeah.
But it's literally the true nature of what humans really are.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't...
Most of it, generally, yeah. Your first impression is about 90% of it anyway.
That's it.
How many times have you met someone and then he's like, the guy's a... The guy's an idiot. And then, like, your opinion doesn't change. Rarely. The odd time it does, but rarely. 3 years later, the guy's still an idiot.
Yeah.
It doesn't really change. So that's... It's not that far off. But...
So do you see video... doing that full time about 8 years ago, or long videos, how long were they?
They're still probably only about 2 to 3 minutes.
Okay. Well, that was
they weren't crazy long, but they're still long compared to today's
right. Kind
of standard with attention spans.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, most of the traffic then was coming from YouTube.
Right. That was a big platform this time.
Like the...
Not the
I don't even know if they're... Like the first client I started working with was an installation company in Brantford.
Okay.
And they were mostly how-to videos. He went up in the attic, I'd film them, and he would talk about like why you'd want to remove attic, like the insulation in your attic and get it replaced.
Yep.
And why you might want to use spray foam in your attic, stuff like that. So those were probably 2 to 3 minutes, and then I just use basically what people would search, like why replace.
Those videos still up now?
Yep.
How many views do you have? A lot?
It's a
very narrow space, but...
No, but it depends on what it was. So, like, some of the ones where they search have, like, 150,000 views.
Oh, wow. That's really good.
Yeah, it's over, like, 8 years.
But... Yeah, I know, but it gains traction over time, and
mm-hmm.
if you're first, then, you know, you're gonna show up, right?
Yeah, and then some of them only have, like, a couple thousand.
Okay.
It's the ones that basically where if someone types in why use spray foam insulation, that would pop up.
Yeah. And I actually believe that that's a really interesting concept, especially with audio and video as well. We run a lot of AdWords campaigns, of course, and that is just simply search. People type in a keyword, a search query, and an ad will show up. They type.
Yeah.
But about 15% of the searches that are performed now that we run the ad campaigns for are voice. They're literally,
yeah, it's all the phone, right?
They're literally either done with the phone or a Google Home
or
Amazon Alexa device, whatever it might be. So those are very long tail keywords. All of a sudden people are going to type in, what do I need to do if my attic smells bad?
Yeah.
Right? Usually they wouldn't type it in Google, but because it's such a human, natural...
Yeah, you type anything in Google now.
And especially with video there too, to still gain traction in the YouTube platform, I think it's super interesting for companies to say, hey, why do I not turn my frequently asked questions on my website into 20-minute clips, 20-second clips,
sorry,
right? Pick up the phone, this is the question, long tail, 20-second response, and put it out, and then it's just creating volume and volume and volume. Because it's going to be super hard to rank videos organically when you do not have viral content or not paid content on YouTube, on that platform itself, on very broad keywords.
Mm-hmm.
So at the moment you go with video and say, hey, we're going to title it and name it, and the audio is going to be a long tail search query.
Yeah.
That's where
that
I believe
sense.
In the marketing space is all the potential.
Because more and more we're going to just talk, right? You ask a question, you just talk to something, and it gives you an answer. So.
Oh, yeah. Like even the new smart TVs, you just hold the remote up and like say what you want to search for.
Yeah. Instead of going A, B.
Yeah.
So where do you advertise for your business? Because you're in the business of advertising, but where do you advertise your business?
Mostly it's just word of mouth and cold emails.
Okay. And I guess everything you do is kind of is a self-advertising anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, you make a video for a company and then they're going to put your email, right? They share it and then you get their whole network and they're like, hey, who did that for you?
Yeah.
That's probably a big thing for you, yeah. And
you stay in
and, yeah, it's not hard to stay busy that way, right?
No.
So.
No, you just slowly branch out.
Yeah.
Cover more.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
I think that's just the hardest part for me mostly though, is just finding clients. It's getting easier
because
there's more younger businesses coming up and basically people my age are...
So you find like old people, they don't really understand why you're doing this,
right.
Like what's
they
the purpose of it. Like they think it's a waste of money kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
I think they still, some of them still do paper advertising and radio.
Yeah.
Which.
I edit radio. Come on now.
We covered this last week, guys.
No, but paper has its place. It still does, but it's, I know what you mean. Like the wand ads or something like that. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I guess Tilsonburg, the papers works in Tilsonburg because it's all seniors.
Okay.
So it does actually have an effect there, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, it is.
If it fits, if you have the budget, it works.
Yeah.
Right? Then it just comes down, is it worth what you're
Split your budget to what you think is worth it and judge it by response. So you go, okay, now I'm spending 80% on paper, 20% on networking. Oh, my networking responses get higher. Okay, let's spend more there and less on paper.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't do that.
Yeah.
But like I said in the last video too, internet and stuff like that gets held to a higher standard. It just does. Because we have raw data back. And when I send a paper out at 14 cents a flyer, I don't know who threw it in the garbage. I don't know who read it. I don't know where it goes.
No.
I know when I go to my mailbox, I go like this. Garbage. I don't even look at it.
Yeah.
So.
It's an expensive way of distributing whatever you want to say.
It's wasteful.
Right? Unless you're talking
It's not environmentally friendly.
That too. Yeah, that too.
Especially, I get probably a gym flyer from the same place to for less every week.
Are you insinuating something?
I have another gym so I'm not going to switch. They just keep sending it, say everyone in my building.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
They're just wasting so much money. And the thing is, I think they're trying to sell us $5 a week.
Yeah, it's expensive. This is insane. But they must get a response. Well, maybe. Who knows? But it might work, right?
Most of the time.
I mean, you can't beat a dead horse. We only beat a dead horse so long. Like, got to get something out of it.
But. Yeah. But from a marketing perspective, I think it's most of the time the agency they work with.
Yeah.
If they have the partners in that space, they're going to sell it.
Yeah.
Right? Because they make the most money on the flyers. Because they can design it, they can print it.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of money to be made. And that's the same when you go into video commercials and radio as well, right? There's so many people in the middle who are all taking their little chunk.
Yeah.
So the final cost is going to be very high. And brands like Coca-Cola, I think they have a big issue with that because they got to find a partner that is completely going to be focused on the social world. And the companies who are trying to sell the television ads or TV commercials to Coca-Cola are not going to sell them the social media packages.
No, they're not.
Because they don't make as much.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
So
you've been 8 years. 8 years running your own business.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been now? Five?
Four. Well, I've run a business all my life, but it's real estate was 4 years, yeah.
Before. Myself 2.5. So you're the one with the most experience here.
most experience in your field. There you go.
Yeah.
So really, what do you enjoy the most? Like, being your own boss is big.
Mm-hmm.
But like, what is it that you say, hey, this is why I like to build something on my own and to just do my own thing?
Maybe it's just the control aspect. I just like that I have control of everything that I'm doing as opposed to having to work with multiple people or just getting pieces of information. I have everything.
Right.
And I just like to think the best part for me is just going to all these different businesses and just learning about them. You're learning about like certain products. Like I probably be good at trivia because I just have a bunch of useless knowledge.
You can work in a metal manufacturing. Oh, you think make videos at a metal manufacturing shop? You're gonna have different knowledge than most people.
Yeah, so
in your field.
I know about like metal manufacturing and insulation and liquid cow feed and dance.
Liquid cow feed to dance.
Yeah.
There's an advertisement for you right there.
Yeah. Those go very well together.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever turned down a client?
I don't think so. Not that I can recall.
That's good.
I have one or two. I sent them to someone else.
Okay.
It was a polite no.
Yeah.
It wasn't like no, thank you. But it was I just couldn't deal with them.
I did do one.
Yeah.
Someone I worked with in the past that it didn't work out well, and I didn't want to work with them really in the future.
Yeah.
Or something. So I just inflated the price crazy high. I'm like, if they'll do it, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're like, no, it's too much. I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
it's fine.
That's okay. Yeah, it's fine.
But sometimes you have to. Like, why did you turn it down? That is it just a gut feeling? It's
unreasonable.
Okay.
Like, if the market is here and you want to be over here, this is when it comes to houses. Let's say you're paying $200,000 for a house, and you think you can buy $200,000 houses for $100,000. It's just not gonna happen.
Right.
And if I spend 2 weeks on you and I don't even get you up to like 180, like where you realistically might start buying something, it's not gonna happen. And the funny thing is I let him go. I go, I can't do this. Here's another person that might help you.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't. I don't have time.
But it's not a matter of it doesn't fit my buyer's profile. It doesn't fit my typical client.
In a sense, it does.
Okay.
Right? But it...
Because there would be older realtors that could work excellent with those kind
of people. Yeah, exactly. There's always a fit for everybody, right?
Right.
But I think when you first start out, you take on everything as much as you can just to start.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And as you move on, you're just like slowly go down and you know what you have time for. Right? In the beginning, you have so much time, it doesn't matter. But when you move on, you get busier. You don't have time for something like that. And that's not to sound cocky, it's not to sound like that, but it's just, it's a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get anywhere.
Yeah.
Funny thing is, the guy went with someone else and he bought a house a month later. So
oh, really?
I could have stuck around, but it doesn't bother me.
No.
Because it's out of my hair.
Makes sense. I had it once with a restaurant, that one that they started up in London.
Yeah.
Wood-burning pizza place.
Okay.
Started a new place, wanted me to do their branding, the new website, and basically bring their restaurant to the market in London. So I sat down probably 3 or 4 times with them, like half an hour, and you know, talking about it, because I was still a couple of months out before he actually would open up the store, open up the restaurant. And then I provided the quote for them, and then I really started thinking, and this was probably about, I was half a year into the marketing, running my own marketing company. I really started thinking, hey, like something just doesn't feel right. It's not the client, but I just simply do not know how to bring a restaurant to the market.
Yeah.
Right? And then it comes into, hey, what is the client that you should serve?
Yeah, but you're serving your client just as much as yourself by walking away.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then it's just a matter of, hey, it's not for me, but here's someone that could do it for
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Yeah.
And everyone's happy again.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that is important to know, hey, this is the moment I got to turn something down, how hard it might be. Yeah. But it's tough.
But the drive home after you turn them down is so peaceful.
Oh, I know.
It sounds really bad, but like you drive home, you're like, oh, it's like a weight off your shoulder. You're like, oh, good. They're finally moving on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's relaxing. I don't know.
Mine was, it was kind of like he was starting like a business, like a financial planning business or something. And he had all these ideas. And I took 50%, and then it was going to be 50% shares in his company.
Okay.
So like it would transfer, and that was fine. So I was doing all the work, and then my role just slowly kept getting
more
and changing.
Okay.
So I went from creating animations,
yeah,
which was fine. I was happy doing them and like doing some filming with him. And then it started. I was running an event.
Oh wow, that one real quick.
No, I'm not. And then he started getting like checks in my name.
Okay.
For, like meet to cash and keep or something like I'm out.
Yeah, yeah. So a little fishy. Yeah.
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 They just know.
Mm-hmm.
So you do animations?
Yep.
Video, audio. What do you like best? Like what kind of videos are you really enjoying to do?
I don't know. I enjoy animations quite a bit because basically I just like build a storyboard and I usually send me a script and I just spend some time creating like elements from the script and then I just like kind of focus in and animate everything.
Yeah. So how does it work? Can you go a little bit more in detail? I know a couple of people might actually be looking into the show later
the
on,
Ebony's
who are a little bit into the video.
Are any examples on your websites or?
Yeah, there is.
Okay.
I think
why a video was important. Explainer Puffin Media, is that an animation video?
Yep.
Oh, cool. So go to his website, puffinmedia.ca, and you'll see some of his work there, his animations and stuff like that. So
yeah, and there's more
cool little website
in the portfolio page.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, so quickly walk us through it. How does it work? Animation. I know that we have a couple of people in the audience or who I know will probably be tuning in sometime.
Okay.
That are a little bit in the video space, or they're young kids who like to do the kind of stuff. They got their own drone, they got their own camera. They just like to play around with it.
Yeah.
Like, how does it work? How do you go through an animation?
Yeah, what would you give advice to someone just starting out, I guess?
Yeah.
Just saying, okay.
Yeah.
So, it's going to take a lot of time. It's not something that's going to, you can sit down for, depending, I guess, on how long it is, but it's not something that you're going to sit down for an hour and you'll have a decent 30-second animation.
No, it's understandable. Yeah.
Rome wasn't built in one day.
Yeah.
Was it 10,000 hours to perfect the craft?
Yeah, so
yeah, that's debatable too. Some people need 50. Some people need 1,000.
To do the dishes, I need about half an hour.
So basically, it's like the client one animation. I get them to help me with the script. So like they'll send me all the points that they want to cover. And usually animation is only used for basically complex ideas.
So does the client know that they want an animation, or are you kind of guiding them in that as well?
Sometimes they know. Other times I will be talking at a meeting and they'll want this idea and I'm like, that's a good idea, but I think it'd be easier to explain this in animation.
Cool. When should the company choose an animation over just a regular video to get a message out?
When it's a complex idea. So if you're explaining something that the general public will not understand. It'll be hard to shoot a video.
I had a company come in that had a really good animation too, actually called JAG Properties. They did one too.
Okay.
And I know exactly what you mean. I've actually, it really did explain it better. It's just the way you can draw things.
Yeah.
And it just, with certain images, it really does help. It brings a point across a lot better than actually trying to make a real video.
Yeah.
And like you can cut it and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does bring a message across a lot easier. And I'm sure this video here would do that. Would give a perfect example of that. Why video is important, right? So
yeah, it's cool.
It's kind of cool.
Okay, actually, so you decide on the animation, and then
so the project starts. They'll send me like a script, or I'll work with them to make a script, and we'll go back and forth. Once that's perfect, I take some time and I'll go through the script, and I'll have like a storyboard sheet in front of me, and I'll kind of just roughly sketch what I'm thinking.
Okay.
And so I'll also have to find like terms. So if they say like they're the best or high quality, maybe that'll be a diamond.
Yeah.
Right.
So
you try to replace words or sentences with icons or
figures.
Right.
So when they're talking about it in the script, like a diamond will pop up or something like that. Or like if they're saying like searching, like we're a great search engine and you have like a magnifying glass going over.
I have a great idea, light bulb.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Just putting the script to pictures, basically.
Yeah.
And then once I have that, depending on the client, they might want to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Usually they don't. And then I just work on like a rough animation and I'll send them that just to make sure we're both on the same page. They like the direction I'm going. And if they approve of that, then I'll finish it up and I'll make the animations tighter and not as jumpy and the text flow nice and stuff like that. And then I get the voiceover in the script and just add it.
Cool.
That's awesome, man. A lot of time goes into it, doesn't it?
Yeah. They're pricey, basically, but I guess people don't realize how much time actually goes into everything you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they say like in Hollywood makes animated movies, it's almost more expensive than like just hours and hours and hours and hours of editing.
Especially so, I started to have a kind of a catalog of like stuff I've made now. So, but if it's a thing I need to make, I have to find like a reference image and then make it in Illustrator and break down to layers depending on how I want it to be animated. Act that for each piece.
Yeah.
So like I have some things now that if I need to have a diamond, so I already made a diamond, so I can probably use that again if it fits the style.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, filler content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to.
Yeah.
Especially when you want to keep the cost.
And it has to be your style, right?
Yeah.
That's why you can't just pick and choose everybody else's stuff, right? Another question for you. Mm-hmm. Puffin Media, where did the name come from?
Good one.
I started with a partner at the time, and at the time both of our parents are really into like bird watching.
Okay.
And we didn't want it to be like A B productions or S
productions. Okay.
So we just found a cool.
I like it, I like the name. Yeah. It's unique.
It's neat.
Yep.
It's neat.
It's different.
Yeah. Puffin, it's a penguin, right?
Puffin, it's a puffin bird. It's like
that's an actual bird too.
It's an actual puffin bird,
yeah.
They're all on the East Coast mostly.
Okay.
Yeah.
In Canada.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, blah blah. Well, I've gotten that a few times. Like, oh, is that a penguin? No, it's a puffin.
It speaks for it.
Yeah, hence the name.
Yeah.
Cool. That's all the stuff we did here. Viewtech, Hunter Auto, Ride Don't Ride, Insulation, Smart Comfort, Jennifer Gale, Woodstock Area. What else we got? Yeah, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Rand River. Hey, coffee's on you. Okay. There you go.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think that's like the easiest way to discuss like your project is just meeting in person and
Oh, for sure.
Asking questions.
You can only do so much over phone and calling and it's and email. And at the end of the day, having a quick meeting, it's so much more productive.
Yeah, 20 minutes to figure out if a video might work for you. Like that. Yeah. I have a meeting on Monday, and she just contacted me. She's like, I just want to know if a video might be right for my business.
Yeah, and sometimes it's not, right?
Yeah.
Like I had a client like last week too. They're like, well, I want to sell. I just bought a house 3 months ago. I think it's 4 or 5 months ago. Did a lot of work too. Wants to sell, and had a baby on the way. And I'm just like, why now? Why don't you just wait, relax, you know, this life is, it's only one life. Just chill out, wait a few months. And then I actually talked myself out of a listen.
Yeah.
But it's going to happen in the future anyway. But
it'll come back.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's no point just trying to do something that you might not have the budget for because you know other people are doing it.
Yeah.
Right. And then you just get like a half-assed version of what you really want.
Yeah, because it's not really what you want, and that's, I find that's a big problem with a lot of marketing, a lot of social media. It's not, stuff comes back, and I just, sometimes I don't dare complain. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm picky too, but I don't dare complain enough, and then you get a product that you don't really want, and I think that's really, really a big hurdle for a lot of marketers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to overbill.
Yeah.
Right? But you want the client to be happy, but at the same time, at some point, you just it's got to be done. Right?
Yeah.
But
yeah. And then it comes back to, like, if you talk about price, right, for animation, for videos, is it expensive? Is it not? What does it cost? Is it $1,000? Is it 10 grand? Is it 15 grand? That's the video. And then you got to get it out.
Right.
Right? And at what cost can you get it out, and what is it going to bring in for the business? And I think that's a really good conversation that more businesses should have, because video, creating videos in itself is not cheap. It's cheaper to pick up a camera yourself. Mm-hmm. Shoot a bunch of pictures, you know, without voiceovers, just do some fun stuff.
I think both of them have their place. I think you have to do both.
Yeah.
I think you create the professional video for your image of your company,
mm-hmm.
but then you back it with just pointing and shooting. Yeah. That's like your day-to-day kind of thing.
And that's community building.
Yeah.
That's building a community around
the business. Like, oh, this is this, and then every time once in a while you put a professional video out, and then you back it with all your other little videos.
For example, the dance studio, I think they did 4 or 5 professional videos, so they just put out his ads, and then all the other videos on their Facebook page and Instagram is just of like the kids dancing on with a cell phone.
Yeah, that's all they need though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
It makes sense.
Yeah, you don't need me to come in for an hour just to showcase some kids dancing.
No, exactly. It'll look a little cleaner, a little crisper, a little nicer, but again, nobody cares.
No, then it's just,
it sounds really bad, and that's, but it's true. Like,
it's volume.
Yeah.
Right? And the whole professional videos, high-end stuff, TV commercials, it's all going away. It comes down to what do you have in your pocket?
I get annoyed with the fakeness of commercials.
Oh. It's not
the
authentic.
Fake families and then the fake smiling. And it drives me nuts.
The stock footage.
Yeah. Or it's just like, welcome home.
Yeah.
That, I just can't handle that. But
that's why Netflix is so big.
I don't know.
So how do you feel that videos leverage the companies around? In Woodstock, Oxford County, like, are they already at a level where you say, hey, this is going, and they start to understand the concept of video and how it needs to be distributed across the different platforms, or where is that at?
It varies by business, because I know the dance studio, she reached out and then had a meeting, and she's like, I know I need it, just tell me what to do.
Right. That's it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then she did it properly. She pushed it out on social media. I've given videos to clients before, and they just have done nothing with it. They've like put it on their website.
Yeah, and that's a waste. And and then all of a sudden, video is expensive.
Yeah,
right.
It's just, if you don't utilize it, you gotta bring it up every once in a while, right? Just reboost it or whatever.
Yeah,
like I think the Liquid feed that I just did. I didn't see it on social media, but I know that they were making these videos for trade shows.
Okay.
So they take
a little bit. They put it on their TV at the trade show in their booth. And
so it's a bunch of testimonials from farmers in different livestock, and I put subtitles so they don't have to have this any audio on because it's going to be allowed there.
Yeah.
And they just take it to trade shows.
Yeah.
And that's where they do most of their marketing.
Yeah. So that's the farming world. Right? The farming world in Oxford County is trade shows, marketing, Twitter.
Trade shows is really
Twitter. Cool. They're all on Twitter, man.
Yeah, I know.
All the farmers in Oxford County.
Yeah.
In Southern Ontario, we're on Twitter. They're all bragging about plant 2019, you know.
Yeah,
show off all their tractors. And,
yeah. It's funny, so. Yeah. And just the whole culture living on Twitter there.
Yeah, a lot of it on Twitter. Yeah.
I never got into Twitter.
Neither did I.
No?
No.
I have for a couple of years and then it went just dead.
I go on there and then I just feel like I'm lost. Like once in a while I'll throw something on there to show I'm alive.
Yeah, but the platform.
Yeah, no, I just like I throw a post on there. I'm like, oh, I was so looking for a house. You never know.
No
someone
one cares.
Searches my name on there, you know, it shows I'm in real estate. Whatever.
The platform is oversaturated.
Yeah.
Like I feel like Twitter is kind of like overdone themselves.
Yeah.
That they do not know anymore how to filter the content.
No.
Because there is so many individual posts, it's like 160 characters long.
Yeah, not only that, and then
and
people go on a tirade and they like number them.
Oh yeah.
They like post
one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm like, okay, cool, man.
Mm-hmm. But your content to stand out on Twitter, you either have to build community, or you have to boost.
Yeah.
Or you have to be on top of it.
A lot of reading. Who reads?
Oh, I know. And then that's
when I read through jokes, I'm like, oh, that was three lines. I'll do that. Oh, that's too long. No, next joke. Like,
yeah.
I'm that.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
I don't read. Like,
no.
And it's not. This is how society is now. Like, if something's too long, people write a tirade. The only time I ever read it is when, like, there's lots of anger in there or something. And then you start reading the whole comment. And, but other than that,
Yeah.
I honestly, I rarely ever read. Like, if it's more than a few lines, no. Unless they get me in on the first line.
Yeah. Yeah, Twitter 5 years ago was still really big.
Yeah.
And at that time, LinkedIn was small.
How many users are on Twitter?
I think about 700 million. Or not even that, I don't think 300 million.
Has it gone down?
Yeah, definitely. And LinkedIn has been exploding over the last year. If I see what's going on LinkedIn now with video...
175 million registered users on Twitter.
Okay. I was a little bit high, sorry. Registered users, okay. So what about LinkedIn?
I'm looking right now. Over 400 million members.
Okay.
I didn't even know that. I would never guess that. So LinkedIn's that much bigger.
Well, I've really seen LinkedIn taking off the last year.
But that's March 2016.
Wow.
Oh, so it's...
Yeah, as of March 2016.
Yeah.
400 million members, 106 which are considered active. Still. I mean, Twitter has 176, that's like registered, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm registered, but I'm not active,
I
right?
Know,
so
right.
It's the same
mm-hmm.
thing. So the 400, that's insane. That'd be way higher probably now.
Yeah. Yeah, 2 years ago, there was no video on the platform. It was a maximum of one image a post on the platform. It was pretty much all text.
Yeah.
That was it, right? And
yeah,
now
we had to make one in college, like in one of our classes, and like getting you prepared for like job hunting and stuff.
Probably. Yeah.
You had to have a LinkedIn page.
Facebook's 1.3 billion. So
I know.
Like it's not even.
Yeah, and now LinkedIn has video up to, I think, 10 or unlimited length now. Live video, they just integrated a couple of months ago.
Oh, okay.
Which is really exciting because now when you go live on LinkedIn, everyone who follows you receives a notification.
If you go live on LinkedIn?
Huge, yeah.
Can you shut that off though?
Yeah, you can. That's the same with Facebook, right?
Yeah, I started shutting them off. Driving me nuts.
Yeah, you did, but for the first 2 months you didn't.
You didn't, I know.
And
yeah.
That's kind of the space where we're in now with LinkedIn.
Yep.
Okay.
I feel like, because it has only been around for like 3 months, so people are not familiar with it yet. They see it a couple times because not a lot of people are live on LinkedIn. I've never done it myself yet.
Yeah.
I really should. But yeah, a notification that someone's going live.
I'm mortified to go live.
It's huge.
I don't know why, it's them. I think it's me and like most of the population.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram, I'm looking at these numbers again.
Yeah.
They're at 1 billion users as of June 2018, so they're over
a billion.
Yeah. And January 2013, they're at 90 million. Didn't they buy it for like $1 billion? Facebook bought Instagram for $1 billion?
Some in the billions for sure.
A lot.
Yeah.
Or was it, How many people are on WhatsApp?
I think
now you got me going, sorry.
Yeah. And LinkedIn is now owned by Microsoft, I believe. I think it got bought out.
Okay. Just getting bought out by big brands.
600 million active users on WhatsApp.
Yeah.
That's changing too. They're doing more and more on that little app too. I don't know if you noticed it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But it's different.
They want to integrate those three platforms more and more. Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp.
Yeah. Yeah, but they keep adding new and new, like Facebook has like paid manager, this, that.
Oh, I know. All the different
apps.
It's
actually driving me nuts. And like Messenger's on a separate app actually drives me nuts, but whatever. Maybe I'm just old school.
Yeah, it does make sense. It does make sense because a lot of people actually replace their actual messaging app on their phone
with the Facebook Messenger.
With Facebook Messenger.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of the same that you do on an iPhone with iMessage, I believe. What is it called?
Yeah, iMessage. Yeah.
iMessage. Yeah. So you replace your.
I don't though. I use everything. Like that's the problem. Like I'm on. I've done deals on Instagram, Facebook, WhatsApp, texting. Like
doesn't matter.
I've done deals without getting someone's number, which was unheard of 5 years ago.
It's all communication in the end.
It's like I get halfway through and someone's like, do you have your client's number? I'm like, actually, no, I don't. Let me ask them.
Yeah.
Right? And then I talked to them on Facebook because they've responded to my Facebook ad.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Yeah. Cool.
No, I didn't think about that till now. I've worked with clients and I don't have their phone number at
all. Yeah. That's unheard of 5, 10 years ago.
Well, yeah, like I worked, a guy in Ottawa contacted me to film an interview with a lady in Brantford.
Yeah.
And I miss him.
We never met, we never spoke on the phone. He's like, here's the date, can you do it?
Yes, no, yeah.
He's like, okay, do it.
Yeah.
He sent me another interview to add to it from BC that got something else to do, and then I didn't pay attention to him.
Yeah.
And then he paid.
Crazy.
Yeah. You don't have to meet anyone.
No.
Or even speak to them.
Yeah. Well, my business is still to do.
Yeah.
I still got to make sure they're real.
But it's interesting because I really think on the long run, with all the automation going on and demonetizing so many industries, like what is going to be left? Right?
Yeah.
That is going to be human communication.
It's still, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
That is really... If everything else goes away or gets automated by robots.
Oh, yeah, less communication. Yeah. That's the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
Communication, farming. That's,
but if
even
farming can
be robots too, more and more.
Yeah.
Right? But there's still, even transporting, that can be robots, yeah.
Well, Tesla came out with a new update last week. I'm not sure if anyone of you seen it. They want to have the first autonomous vehicles on the road in 2020 in the States. There's two states that are going to be legalizing it.
Yeah.
Then it will take a while. So for them, it's just a matter of having countries legalize it.
Yeah.
Right? And then you can buy a Tesla for 30 grand.
Mm-hmm.
You drive it wherever you want to go. You plug it into the Tesla app network. They have their own app. They have their own network. You plug it into, and the Uber is going to, or the Tesla is going to drive around for you. You get paid. The car,
that's cool.
If you are driving about 3 hours a day, the Tesla will pay you about, so he will just spend all the time additional to that, right? So let's say you use it for 3 hours, the Tesla itself will drive around for 12 hours. He said that only 50% of the actual time that the car is driven would be paid, right?
Yeah.
Because you have lost time in between. But it will make about $30,000 in revenue a year.
Yeah, we'll pay your payments.
And
you have a free car.
You have a free car after a year.
Yeah.
And their Tesla models now are built to last for 1,000,000 miles.
Yeah, there's nothing. There's no wear and tear on them. Like, it's electric.
Mm-hmm. I see the range now. They increased it to like 600 kilometers.
Yeah. That's getting there.
On a charge.
It's almost worth it.
Just a matter of time.
Almost.
Just a matter of time.
I still like the sound of a gas engine, but that's just...
Yeah. Yeah, but I think that, like, I appreciate the quietness of an electric vehicle.
Oh, yeah,
too.
For sure. Oh, yeah. There's pros and cons to both.
Yeah.
Like, electrics, the torque curve is just like this.
But as, I know that as soon as Canada would legalize the fact that a car can drive autonomously on the road, I'll sell my car tomorrow, and I'll get a Tesla.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It will literally generate about $2,000 a month. You don't have to do shit for it.
Yeah, but even from like a working perspective, if I could work and drive, you know, nice that would be.
Oh man.
Just let the car drive and just go to the next appointment.
But honestly, if it's all automated for everyone, it's gonna be a lot safer too.
Oh yeah.
It's just, yeah.
That's true.
But it's gonna be hard, I think, for governments to legalize it. Because they're gonna lose their gas taxes, right?
Yeah. That's
an awful lot of money.
Mm-hmm. I know.
So there's a lot of politics.
Don't worry, our taxes just go up a bit more.
A lot of politics involved. Yeah.
Well, do you have to pay anything right now to charge it, like a public charging station?
I don't know. I don't know. I think so.
At a Tesla charges, so we have them also from just third-party brands. I'm not sure how those work.
But everything on Tesla now.
A Tesla?
No, they have an electric charger.
Okay, but the Tesla chargers, there's a whole line up by the Quality Inn Hotel.
Quality Inn was stocked there, yeah.
Yeah, in Woodstock. So there you just pay per kilowatt hour.
Okay, and so, how much cost?
I have no clue. But I know that Tesla said that currently a vehicle will cost you about $1.80 per mile to drive it. That includes maintenance and, you know, whatever else.
Yeah.
An Uber will cost you about $3 a mile, and their Tesla, once they become autonomous, will cost you about 18 cents a mile. Yeah, that's pretty insane.
Yeah, that's a huge savings.
Mm-hmm.
So what it costs me to drive is
it's crazy. It's more and more now.
Yeah,
the designs look good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're nice. I'm not a big fan of the Model 3, but I like the other one.
S.
Yeah, the S type.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. But
have you seen the crazy like add-ons you get for them? Like the ones like has like a hazmat like filter and stuff. Like that's the add-ons. So, like if you're driving and then like a terrorist chemical bomb goes off, you can drive your Tesla through it and like none of the poison or anything will get in the car.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
It's like a biohazard filter.
But from a brand perspective, right? I love Tesla because they don't do any marketing.
Right, yeah.
Like,
no.
Barely. Tesla does a little bit on his Twitter, you know, on his personal stuff. But like in terms of marketing, it's worth to Musk.
You mean Musk?
Yeah. And Musk, yeah. And it's just...
Tesla's long gone.
But people are obsessed Tesla. With the brand. That's
yeah.
it.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I want a Tesla, and that's it.
Yeah.
Like, there's barely any marketing involved.
Yeah.
And if you look at their numbers, it's really amazing to see.
Yeah, they're doing very, very well.
Very well, yeah.
Very well.
Anyway, it's about 9:30 here. Thank you for joining us on the second episode of Canadian Hustlers with Scott Crawley from Puffin Media. We hope to be back next week with a brand new episode, get a new guest on the show. Do you want to be on the show next week? Send us a message either to me, albert@incomarketing.com, or Alex Fisher. You can find us here on the sign. Hook us up on Facebook or wherever you'd like. And we hope to see you soon.